Program of Bible Truth today under the caption of Take a Look at Your Bible. We are in a current series of 8 broadcasts, and the first part of this that we've called Take a Look at the Bible, and as we come to your home today, we want to deal with God in the Egyptian deliverance. I simply call your minds to the book of Exodus that implies the idea that the people were to go out from the land of Egypt. You're aware of the fact as the second chapter of Exodus unfolds for us. It tells us about the beginnings of Moses. He was, of course, born there, as Exodus opens, in the land of Egypt. His mother's name was Jochebed. His father's name, Amram. He was of the tribe of Levi. And you remember the story of bondage, the Egyptians having the Israelites in bondage at that time, and the wonderful story of Moses is the beginning of this Exodus from the land of bondage. To make a long story short, by way of review, Moses was able, after being rescued out of the river by the princess Pharaoh's daughter, to live in the land of Egypt for a period of 40 years. And then you remember he thinking at that time that he was to deliver God's people from bondage, did eventually smite the Egyptian, and he had to flee for his life into the land of Midian. And there he was for 40 years in that land of Midian. And finally at the burning bush, where he had been taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, he received the message to go down into Egypt. And Moses, like so many of us today, began to drag his feet and telling God he could not speak, or perhaps the people would not believe him. But Aaron, who was his brother and 3 years his senior, was mentioned by God to go as a spokesman for Moses and the children of Israel along with Moses. So as the story unfolds, they went to the land of Egypt and confronted King Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the individual who had a hardened heart. And I'd like to simply say this on the broadcast today, that many times I find people who say, well, Pharaoh was probably a victim of circumstance. And yet I do not believe that theory or that idea. God was able to look into the heart of Pharaoh, and he saw that Pharaoh was the type of individual who would truly harden his heart against God. And so God used this man and eventually hardened his heart until finally Pharaoh and the Egyptians were brought completely to their knees. The 10 plagues that unfold in the land of Egypt are a true example of the power of God. And I was in a Bible class not too long ago where I mentioned that it would have been amusing if it had not been so serious to realize that when God's people, through Moses and Aaron, were able to bring plagues upon the Egyptians. To begin with, the Egyptian magicians of the land of Egypt did not eliminate the plagues, they simply added more to it. They made the matter worse, showing that they, of course, had power equal with God. But when the plague of lice came upon the earth, a very small, we might say, plague as far as the subjects were concerned, they admitted that this was the power of God. So finally, at the time of the death of the firstborn, when we understand the blood had to be placed from the lamb upon the doorposts, the story of the Passover became a reality. And the old song that I can remember singing when I was a boy in assembly after assembly, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," became a reality. Now, the song wasn't written back in the days of Moses, but it was written regarding the Passover. So eventually, as the book unfolds, the Egyptians consider themselves to be spoiled, and they said to Moses and Aaron, "You leave our land unless we become all dead people." So they fled from the land of Egypt. It was a mixed multitude that went out and made their trek toward the wilderness, coming to the Red Sea. And then you remember the story, how that the Egyptians changed their mind and pursued them, and how that God performed that wonderful miracle at the water of the Red Sea, and how the children of Israel were able to go across on dry land. The Egyptians, essaying to follow, perished in the sea. And how the words of the song of deliverance offered by Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, rang through the wilderness air, implying that God had delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. Now, it's an interesting thing to note that Egypt was a world power at this time. And I think from the very first lesson that we gave you in this lesson of God in the beginning, we mentioned that the physical things of life that were about us would prove undoubtedly the importance of God and would give us a true parallel, putting one line down that's physical and the other line down that is spiritual, as we have these parallel lines. So God showed his power in the land of Egypt, regardless of how strong Pharaoh was, regardless of how strong Egypt was. We find that God's people prevailed. And may I make this lesson as we go along an application to our life today. After all, isn't it true that the Old Testament points out to us in a very definite way that we have example after example that can be used as a true example for our life today? No wonder the apostle wrote, "The things that are written aforetime are written for our learning." So the deliverance from the land of Egypt has within it a very good spiritual example. Someone was talking to me the other day about this Passover and how that the children of Israel in each household were commanded to take a lamb without spot or blemish and to actually kill that lamb and to place the blood upon the doorpost of the house. You know, there's a lesson here that can come to our mind, realizing that not alone must we recognize that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died upon the cross. It isn't enough to realize that, but it must be recognized as being vital and important that we apply his blood spiritually to our life. So the deliverance of the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses in the land of Egypt is a good example of the deliverance of God's people by Jesus Christ, his Son and our Savior, from the bondage of sin. You know, I remember that wonderful prophecy in Deuteronomy 18:15, incidentally written there, recorded by Moses, when he simply announced to the legions of Israel that the Lord your God will raise up a prophet from among your brethren like unto me. This prophet you will hear. You see, Moses was a prophet because he prophesied what was going to take place here through the power of God. Jesus Christ was a prophet because not alone did he tell in the 24th chapter of Matthew about the destruction of Jerusalem that came upon the Jews in AD 70, but he also told about his second coming that truly has yet to be fulfilled. He also told about the preaching of repentance and remission of sins beginning at Jerusalem in his name and how that he would build his church and how he truly would save men from their sins. He was actually a deliverer, just as we understand Moses was a deliverer. Moses from the physical bondage of Egypt, while we understand Jesus Christ from the spiritual bondage of sin, that we might be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And I want to say to you on the broadcast today, has the blood of Jesus Christ really been applied to your life? You see, you can be like the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage. You can find yourself in an impossible situation as far as man is concerned. See, there was no one who had the power upon earth to deliver the children of Israel from that Egyptian bondage. But God had that power. There's no force upon the earth, no human doctrine, no human dogma, no man or group of men that can deliver you from sin in this life. No one truly of a physical nature can forgive your sin. But when Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he told us that we could come to the Father but by him. And today that's the theme in the application of God in the Egyptian deliverance. He can make it possible, even though our sins be as scarlet, that we can be as white as snow. So what does this mean to you as you look back at the Old Testament? As you understand, the Israelites, in an impossible situation as it appeared, were able to emerge victorious over Pharaoh and his army. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ spiritually must be applied to your life today. When Christ died and his side was pierced, blood and water came out of his side. John says that I saw this, and he said the record is true. So we are required then, if our sins are to be forgiven, that we spiritually come in contact with the blood of Christ. We of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast and this program today believe that this is possible when we are born again. We are told to hear the word, to believe it, to repent of our sins, to confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and to follow that with baptism, immersion in water, in a likeness of Jesus' death, that we might raise in a likeness of his resurrection. As the blood and water came forth from the side of Jesus when he was pierced there, so we understand that when we are baptized, we not alone come in contact with the water, but we also spiritually come in contact with his blood. Let us close this broadcast today with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we are grateful for the blessings of life, for this message, and we trust as it goes into the homes and hearts of those who listen, that they may be richly blessed. May God bless us as we obey this marvelous truth is our prayer in Jesus' name, and amen.